And we talk about all of this macro data and what have you, but you and I live in a micro world. If I'm a business owner and I'm a president of a company, so I'm running my business, you know, sometimes I don't care what's happening in this global world. I'm in my micro world.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast, where we discuss insurance innovation. So, you know, I'm really excited for the guests that we're going to have here today. You know, it was absolutely a great discussion and a great conversation with Roger Duffield from Intivate. So, you know, I'm going to jump right in. But before we do that, I want to recognize the sponsor of this episode of the podcast, and that's Vortex Legal. Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com. Now, today I'm speaking with Roger Duffield, the president at Intivate, an organization that helps clients manage risk through innovation, partnerships, and education. Roger, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. It's great to have you.
Oh, thank you, Abel. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, you know, so Roger, I just want to talk a little bit about your background. So as I was looking into your history, I know that you were deep in the claims world. So, you know, if you don't mind, just talk to myself and our audience about your background and your experience in the insurance industry.
I would love to do that, but you probably don't have time. So I'll try to keep it short, Abel. My background is in commercial insurance claims management. I started right out of college handling property, commercial auto, commercial general liability, and workers' comp claims. And in doing so, my bosses encouraged me to take some CPCU classes, and I really got interested in risk management very early in my career. But as it turned out, I enjoyed claims and seemed to be somewhat successful at it. And so I spent about 10 years in the claims business working in all kinds of different areas. I was a branch manager, subrogation manager, and then I flipped over to risk management for a nonprofit risk pooling trust. And at that time, I spent my entire time there was in the risk management area, and I had a couple different stints overseeing the claim division as well. And during that time, our self-insured retention went from about, I think it was $16 million when I started, to over $50 million 16 years later. And so I saw a lot of growth and had to get really skilled at not just managing claims and claim payments, but also identifying how are we doing during all of that growth. So I really found some different techniques that I did not see in the marketplace that weren't available to risk managers or groups. And when I came to Intivate, it's like, okay, let's start working on bringing some of those to bear in the marketplace. So I have a real interest in both reducing claims and streamlining processes. I just hate waste. And so that's what we're doing at Intivate.
Yeah, so if you don't mind, I know you mentioned Intivate and some of the things that you're doing, but if you don't mind, if you could more deeply explain what Intivate is and how you're driving change and efficiency within the insurance industry.
Absolutely. So at Intivate, we've been around a little over 20 years. We started in 1995, and our focus was employment practices liability. We were started by a group of attorneys, and the focus at that time was really how do we leverage education and knowledge to impact claims? And so we did that we started at the top of an organization. We trained the senior management on what risk management, employment practices is all about. We then trained a group to handle internal complaints, and then we trained supervisors, managers, and we then finally trained employees. So we use a train-the-trainer model, and I was actually a client of Intivate in 1997. And at that time, I was impressed with the methodology that was used way back then. And from that time, we started integrating technology to help with that process. So over the years, what we've done is we've developed a enterprise technology tool that marries up well with the insurance industry. And more recently, we've added a risk management piece, which is assessing risk, but beyond that, really has the ability to make information more transparent throughout the insurance groups, the underwriters, the claims people, as well as the risk management people. So we have been helping organizations really improve efficiency and ultimately with a focus on reducing claims. And that's what we're about.
Yeah, you know, so just thinking about that, you know, in claims, where there may be multiple business units within any legacy insurance carrier, you know, from a data perspective, what I typically tend to see is that data may inadvertently not be shared across the different business units. And you know, what winds up happening is that with the trends that may occur, you may not be able to see a trend from one business unit to the next. So, you know, there may be things like knowledge silos in place that prevents or inadvertently prevents that that data from being shared more broadly across an organization. You know, so from your perspective, Roger, you know, how can data and technology be used in order to change this practice and then become more proactive in the claims management process and the assessment of trends in the claims process?
You know, I think that's a great question, Abel. And you know, it's not necessarily a simple solution, but it doesn't have to be a complex solution either. And so I can share with you my background, which is both claims and risk management. And even in areas where I've had responsibility for both of those divisions, there's just a natural tendency to do that, a division. And so at Intivate, we think there's some opportunities there to not only leverage technology to break down some of those silos, but actually simplify your processes in the first place. So let me give you an example. From my background and knowledge, a lot of organizations, you have loss control, risk management that goes out on site, they do a report, and they maybe do it in Word and Excel, and they've used macros and different things to simplify that reporting. But that individual report goes from that loss control consultant to that client. And it usually stays there with a copy that goes to an underwriting file. And people don't pull that out until there's a problem. And maybe the client looks at it, but as soon as you have a change in personnel, all of that information is lost. So what Intivate is doing today, we have clients that can use our technology to not just simplify the reporting and reduce that time that a loss control person is doing reporting and really oftentimes assessing risk and reporting, not doing anything with that data. But once that information gets into the system, that data can be aggregated and then used by decision makers, whether it's underwriters, claims people, or the risk control staff. And we feel like by doing that, you're beginning this ecosystem where, okay, we see information, we're seeing aggregate data that we can actually quantify. We can see that 60% of our clients have a fleet management program and which pieces of that they have. But now matching that up with our claims data that says, you know, where we're really having losses is we have bad drivers. Well, we haven't been assessing that. So let's start focusing more on drivers. Are you doing an MVR check? Are you training drivers? Our drivers aren't getting trained. So let's start matching both those assessments and our aggregate claims data at an individual level and at an aggregate level. So as we begin, as our knowledge grows, we can actually simplify the reporting, information gathering, and also how much time the client's using to reduce risk. Because clients, they're not in the business necessarily to reduce risk. That's a byproduct of their mission and their vision, but their mission and vision is probably to serve people or provide a service. And any time that's not being used for those things sometimes feels like a waste. So Intivate believes that, look it, if we're gathering data, why don't we make that available to everybody that needs that, and we can manage that through our technology.
You know, I actually think that's a huge value for the insurance industry, you know, especially as you think about risk management and the risk control reports, as you mentioned, that typically may go from the risk manager or whoever's doing the risk control assessment to the client. And of course, you know, potentially underwriting as well. Now, the way that I look at that is exactly to the point that you made. Underwriting may look at it and review that data for, let's say, the specific policy that they're underwriting at the time. But a lot of times, just even going back into my own underwriting experience, what happens with that information is I'll use it for underwriting for that first policy period, and then that's the extent of it. I might pick it up again the second policy period to figure out whether or not the recommendations, let's say, were made. But that's the extent of it. So as you're talking about pulling all of this information together and this data in aggregate, I think what that does, which is so much value, is it enables anyone who needs that data or the insurance company to figure out what type of trends there may be for a certain type of exposure and so on, which is what I think provides a significant value in. And that really creates that education that you all are talking about in terms of what's a part of your value proposition. So, Roger, if you don't mind, you know, just talk to me about how you use or how you enable education as well, you know, as the technology component for the clients that leverage your technology.
You know, that's a great observation and a great question, Abel. We really have two methodologies for education, and one is like brand spanking new that we're just making available to our clients. But we have a traditional learning management system that allows clients to use our training. We have all kinds of employment practices content on our system, and that's assigned to supervisors, managers, employees, and then we also have safety training. We also have what we call safe environments, which is really designed to protect youth from abuse, and that's another line of content we have. But a more recent technology that we're using is we have created this risk management library that's open. And the purpose for that is to, let's make content that is not this compliance-driven that somebody has to manage, but let's start educating our senior leaders and our supervisors and managers and even employees on information that's important to them. And let me give you an example. If a CFO or a risk manager is wondering, you know, what do I need to do to, you know, manage my employment practices liability. You know, there's clearly a big push in this country on sexual abuse or sexual harassment, and we see it all over the workplace. But what do I do as an employer? Well, what you want to do is you want to make sure that people understand the risk. You want to make sure that they're reporting the risk, and you want to make sure that people that are the risk is being reported to are managing that. It's a relatively straightforward process. So if we can simplify that high-level information into a 2 or 3 minute educational piece, as an executive, I don't need to know all the details, but I kind of need to know what the high-level questions I should be asking. So we've just begun developing content in that arena. And the area we decided to start with is employee files, because over the years we've had a ton of questions regarding employee files. What do I put in there? How do I use it? How long should I keep information? And so we started breaking what would typically be maybe a 15 or 20 or 30 minute training into smaller segments. Let's do it 5 minutes. Let's do it 6 minutes. Let's do it 3 minutes, with the idea that people need information when they need it, and they don't have a lot of time. So this allows clients to upload their own content that's important to them. So we have both the compliance piece and this open library that makes it unique to each client.
Yeah, I think that's again an excellent value proposition in terms of what you all are providing, you know, because as I again look across this industry, education becomes key in order to be able to effectively provide value back out to your clients, but then for insurance organizations to be able to innovate different areas of their value chain. You know, so I look at the different opportunities to innovate, especially around the data piece, which we've talked a little bit about today. And what I always recognize is that, you know, a lot of carriers collect so much data. There's a massive amount of data that's being collected, but they don't have the ability to easily synthesize this data and the information that, you know, that's at their disposal, whereby you all are providing that platform in order for them to be able to take some of the information that's coming in and synthesize it. Now, that's a challenge across multiple carriers, because even when you start to look at the legacy technology that they're using, it becomes challenging to even pull that information out of the technology to be able to assess what it's actually telling them. So, Roger, you know, from your perspective, you know, as we're thinking about innovating the insurance value chain, you know, what are some of the things that that carriers can do in order to be able to take their data, synthesize it, and then come up with solutions that's going to help them to provide even more value to their policyholders?
So, you know, when I look over my career, I think there's a few places that you can have relatively easy wins. It may take some thought, it may take some doing, but I think I'm a huge Excel fan, and I'm a carpenter, so everything, you know, everything's a hammer to me. But, you know, there is this, you know, virtually free technology that's on all of our computers and laptops and what have you. I believe by getting the data and getting it consistently into information that I can now see it globally is hypercritical. And I really think you can do that using Excel or, you know, other technologies, but you really have to think through that. Once you have that information, where I see one of the breakdowns is really now, are you partnering up with the claims people that are actually seeing the outcomes of all of your efforts? And what I've seen, and I was just talking to a broker today, and he was saying, you know, I have my loss control people going out to my clients. And instead of looking at auto risk or, you know, some liability risk, what they're doing is they're identifying a lot of physical hazards. Well, you know what? Just because the limb's next to the building, I'm not going to get a $100,000 loss from that. I may get a wind damage and a $2,000 loss. So to me, it seems like there's this disconnect from what's actually happening in the claim world and making it to the loss control and focused on that loss control on what's really driving claims. It doesn't take technology to do that, but it takes a willingness to sit down and to talk about that and develop strategies. I think the part that Intivate has that's unique is we can then measure those improvements over time, both individually and collectively for a group. And I don't know that that's being done really in the marketplace today.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you just in terms of that, you know, that in my history, in terms of what I've seen in with speaking to a lot of people and doing a lot of research in the space, I don't think a lot of that is being done today at all. And I think one of the key things that you mentioned is that, you know, it's not just about the technology. The technology, I think, is, you know, based on what you're saying, is something that can enhance the process, but actually sitting down and getting an understanding and talking across the borders, you know, whether it's with a claim and risk control, is really where you're going to get the true assessment of, you know, what that information and what that data is telling you. You know, so as I think about that, you know, I think about a lot of the organizations that are coming into the space that are focused on leveraging just technology. So I hear a lot about, okay, you know, AI and machine learning and, you know, leveraging more of that in order to assess data without really having that human element to tell you sort of what's actually playing out. But, you know, just taking those two things into consideration, you know, do you think that there is an opportunity for artificial intelligence alongside of leveraging machine learning and partnering that with that human element of the of knowledge to really help to improve the way that we assess data and make decisions long term?
I'm absolutely positive there is. I need to be clear, I'm not an expert on artificial intelligence, so I would be taking a big leap in that area. But I do believe, you know, so much of this information is repetitive, and that's where artificial intelligence comes in. But I'd also like to make a point that I really think is important that is not discussed much. And we talk about all of this macro data and what have you, but you and I live in a micro world. And so I think it's really just as important to be able to leverage that artificial intelligence and that collection and use of data in my world. Because honestly, if I'm a business owner and I'm a president of a company, so I'm running my business, you know, sometimes I don't care what's happening in this global world. I'm in my micro world, so I need it unique to me. And that's where I feel like organizations like Intivate that have the ability to do this aggregate work but also individualize our product, marrying that up with artificial intelligence, really can provide something unique for small and medium-sized businesses, because that macro stuff doesn't often work for the small and medium-sized organization.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, Roger. You know, and as you were mentioning that, you know, I really could see how you know, what you guys are doing is could help you know, organizations to be able to understand what's in front of them. You know, as I was just reading into everything that your organization was doing, what I recognize is that, you know, you guys were announced as, you know, one of the most promising insurance technology providers by CIO Review. So congratulations on that. You know, so just thinking about the spirit of innovation, you know, what do you think led to receiving that prestigious designation?
I do believe it's using our technology in the way that we are with again, risk assessments have been going on for how many years? You know, probably since the dawn of insurance, if not before that. People are identifying risk. And what I believe we give organizations an opportunity to do is look at, you're doing that once and it stays there. What we're trying to do is let's make it alive and let's make it across borders. And to be able to do that while you're streamlining your processes just doesn't happen much. And so I'd like to believe that that was a big part of why we were chosen in that group.
Yeah, you know, and it's well deserved, just in terms of seeing the impact that you guys are having in the industry. You know, as I think about the insurance industry, it really has been an industry that, while there's been changes that's been occurring, you know, it's been unspoiled by wide scale innovation for years, just up until recently. You know, and when I say recently, for me, that's over the past couple of years. Now, you know, what we're starting to see is insurtech, which is in essence synonymous with innovation within the insurance industry. Now, interestingly enough, with your organization has been around for quite some time in the insurance technology space, but you know, you could actually brand your organization InsurTech, just in terms of what you're doing and how you're enabling different parts of the insurance value chain, somewhat different than incumbents have been doing for quite some time. You know, so if you don't mind, just help me understand your perspective on what do you see as some of the benefits of having a deep, renewed focus on insurance innovation within this industry.
You know, Abel, I think it has to happen. I mean, I find it a little bit ironic that we have more information than we've ever had, yet the silos haven't really been broken from my perspective. There may be, and I need to be clear, there are individual organizations and individual people by nature that don't function in that world. But as an industry, I think we still very much function in a, I'm an underwriter, I'm risk management, loss control, you know, risk control, whatever we call it, we're claims. And I don't know, we start moving faster, and I just think there's a challenge to slow down and share. Because if you're working for a corporation in the claims world, you probably know more about claims today or have the opportunity to know more about claims data than you've ever had in your life. You can tell, I know how much my legal's costing me and what have you. But what I find interesting is I see other industries that are coming together and using that data with us. And I think of plaintiff's attorneys and in areas of, you know, sexual abuse and employment practices. They're gathering every day, sharing information. How do we get better at getting this money for our clients? Yet I think there's this hesitancy as coverage providers, even internally within an organization, are we taking a global approach to really knocking this out? And I think that, I really think it's not a data issue at this point. It is a charge issue that we need to come together and use this information we have. And I know I'm repeating myself a little bit from earlier, but I do believe that's where the challenge is.
No, and even though we mentioned that, I think that's quite important, right? Because I think what you're conveying is that we have to break down the silos. You know, we have to be able to take the data, take the information that's within different subject matter areas, where with folks that have different subject matter expertise, and share that information beyond the silos in which it's being shared today, in order to drive that change for the industry. Because in the end, it's not just assisting the organization that's hoping to change, but it's also providing that significant value back out to the customer and to the policyholder and whoever it may be, as a part of either their risk management or their needs for what they're hoping to gain from what we do here within the insurance industry. You know, so I do, Roger, I think that becomes what you're saying is continues to be a very important part of, you know, how organizations can look at that focus on just innovation in general and what the impacts are there. You know, so one of the things that I always believe that's key to driving innovation is people. So I want to talk about that a little bit, you know, because when we talk about breaking down silos, a lot of times it starts with the people focusing in on their areas of expertise and what they're charged with. You know, so to me, people are critical to the success of an organization, especially as a transformation is taking place. You know, so if you don't mind, Roger, you know, just talk to me a little bit about how can an organization leverage its people, especially, you know, when talking and working with long-term employees, when they're trying to innovate and change the way that they provide value?
You know, that's a pretty bold question to throw out there, Abel. And I would say that I actually have an opinion on that. So I'm going to let it go. So here's where I think it's not nearly as complex as we make it out to be. I think it's as simple as ask our employees to do that. I'm going to ask that my claims director, risk management director, and my underwriting director, whether that's a branch manager or at a regional level or corporate level, I want you to sit down quarterly and have a discussion about these topics. As an executive, I don't know what your answer is, and I want you to tell me where there's some opportunities, what the challenges are, and how do we change that? And I truly believe it's as simple is having that conversation. Now, if you have people that are not inclined to share, that's also, as an executive, that's important information that I need to know. And while you may be a great specialist, you may not be right for our organization. That's okay. But my goal is to make this a unit effort, not an individual effort. And so I really think we limit ourselves. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. We've boxed ourselves in a corner because we're not asking those questions, because the people in the field, the first level managers and supervisors, they have a lot of that information. But if we're not asking, we're not getting it.
Yeah, and I absolutely have to agree with that. You know, as you speak, I could hear the sort of the passion in your voice around what you do and what you just the impacts that you're having within this industry. You know, you seem really passionate about that, and so I just want to ask you the question. You know, what motivates you and what makes you so passionate about the work that you do in order to drive change within this industry?
You started with the question. You started your last question with, you know, you believe that people make the companies. All of this is about people, and I really think that I would like to make through insurance to make lives a little easier and a little better and a little less complex in a complex world, and I think through streamlining and. And, you know, let's do something once, let's not do versions of it 10 times, can really make a difference. And, you know, we work with a lot of nonprofits and governmental agencies, and they're all under-resourced. I mean, you may have organizations and, you know, large corporations that have the resources, they have other demands, but these small and medium-sized companies, they don't have a risk manager. They likely don't have an HR department, and they certainly don't have a compliance officer. In my last position, one of the things I did is we were growing at a fast pace. I think I started this conversation by saying we went from a $60 million loss fund to a $50 million loss fund. And that was over a 15-year period of time. So part of my job went from, okay, not only am I managing losses, but how do I know our losses going up at the same rate, faster or slower than our exposures? And so out of just necessity and sheer survival, I felt like I had to figure that out. So what I found a methodology to do some predictive analytics using Excel, and I was using our exposure data and point in time data, and I could begin to predict with pretty fair amount of consistency what our claims should be like. And I could begin even on an aggregate level to see whether our programs were working or not. But I could also drill that down into individual clients based on their exposure. So while, you know, the calculations aren't, I don't think they're complex, what I realized is nobody in the marketplace was doing that. So I think where I would like to see Intivate in the next few years is taking that predictive analytics, overlaying it with our risk services and our education. And what I would expect the natural outcome of that would be is we have a way to benchmark not the large accounts that are driving claims, because we can all see those. I mean, those are easy. But what about those small and medium size that are only having 2, 3, or 4 claims? But they shouldn't be having any. Let's identify them before the year's up. Let's identify them the first, second quarter. Let's compare that to the risk assessments that have been done. Now let's bring the claims in. And now we're, with our limited resources as a insurer or a, you know, program manager for a captive, we're getting the data to the right people at the right time. And we can really drive down those loss ratios. Just think of, if you're managing a captive and you could take 10 points or it's 5 points off of your combined ratio, those are real dollars that are going back to your clients to serve either the mission or the ministry or their business's goals. And I believe that's right around the corner, and we plan to be a big part of that.
Absolutely. You know, so I I'm definitely you know, rooting for you all as you all are focused in on that objective. So one of the questions that I always ask in order to make what we're talking about here tangible to the listeners is, you know, if someone listening in to you and I just speak here today, and if they want to do things differently from the status quo in their organizations in order to have an impact within that organization, you know, what advice would you give them in order to do things differently?
I think what I've done repeatedly is I'm inquisitive by nature. So I'll look at what we're doing and I'll ask the people that are closest to it to help me understand the information. And so it really depends on what your audience is to how do we do that. If you're in underwriting, And you know, talk to the underwriters. What pieces are we missing? How do we improve? And it doesn't mean you have to have an answer, But once you begin to truly identify, these are the two, three, or four things, and I would limit it to two, three, or four things that are going to be highly impactful, those are the things that I would focus on. And sometimes those can come as real easy wins. If you haven't done things like that before, you're going to get some quick wins. I had an old boss that said, if you shine the light on something, you're going to make improvements. And I believe that to be 100% accurate. But I also think that there's some deeper things that sometimes either technology or education or the industry or maybe even your boss isn't aware of, that just takes time to work through the system. And I would say, I would consider myself patiently persistent. Hey, these are important things, but if the time's not right, I can't force it because that's not going to help. But just stay after it and be consistent with your, tenacity to make those changes.
Absolutely. So Roger, I do want to say thank you for joining me here today on the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. If anyone listening wanted to learn more about Intivate or get in contact with you or your staff, how could we get them that information?
Absolutely. You could visit our website at intivate.com, intivate.com. And there should be a link for the help desk, and just go ahead and ask your question. Or you can call our phone number or call me directly, 918-794-9225, 918-794-9225.
Perfect. Well, Roger, once again, I do want to say thank you for your time here today. I truly appreciate it. And I know that the listeners of this discussion is really going to get a lot of value out of what you have to provide.
Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate your time, Abel.
Hey everyone, thanks again for joining me on the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. So if you are a new listener, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on, and that way you'll not miss any of the new and upcoming episodes. So you could also go back into the archives to hear discussions with folks like Daniel Schreiber, Shabine Vanderlinden, and many others. So thanks for listening once again, and I will see you next week.